The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothing became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. And then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses. They were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them, and from the cloud came a voice. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man has risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead could mean. The Gospel of the Lord. Let me reflect on this Gospel of the Transfiguration, which appears, this event appears in all three synoptic Gospels. It does not appear in John, because John emphasizes throughout his Gospel Jesus' divinity, and therefore there's no need for a transfiguration in the Gospel of John. It appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and almost consistent in detail in all three Gospels. In order to summon out of this a core teaching in our journey of Lent, let me begin by attaching ourselves to Peter and wonder if we follow Peter, we will find an experience of Jesus Christ. So we'll look at Peter for a few moments. Peter is a rock. "You are Peter, on this rock I will build my church." He's firm, he's strong, he's decisive. He anticipates things, but he's also controlling. He's a manager. And when he hears, immediately before and after the Transfiguration, in all three Gospels, that Jesus must suffer, he must die, and then he will rise, he says, "No way. I'm in charge. I'm planning Jesus' life. He's a powerful Messiah. There is no way that Jesus can suffer and appear to be a failure." He's not a good listener. When he's on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he has this vision, he says, we'll build three tents here. And a voice says, "Be quiet. Listen." You won't find Peter listening very often, but he's assertive. He's the one that walks on the water, remember? He is the one, when they get to the Last Supper, he says, "I will wash Jesus' feet. He will not wash mine. I'm in charge." And when he gets to Gethsemane, you will remember he is the one who draws his sword and cuts off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant. And Jesus says, "Put your sword back. That's not the way this kingdom is going to be expressed. It's going to be lived. It's a different kingdom, not a kingdom of power, control, and judgment." And then, of course, after the arrest at Gethsemane, Jesus goes to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, for a judgment. And Peter is there at the palace of the high priest. And the maidservant says, "You must be one of his followers." "I am not one of his followers," he says.
And a second time he's challenged. He said, but your accent, you're a Galilean. You're from the north. Your accent betrays you. You must be one of his followers. I am not one of his followers. And thirdly, he looks at Jesus and he says, I do not know the man. In a time of crisis, the rock collapses. In Luke's gospel, in chapter 22, it says, Jesus looks at him in his denial, and he goes outside, and he weeps bitterly. He wasn't weeping for Jesus. He was weeping for himself. The strong man, the powerful person, collapsed in a moment of challenge and a moment of crisis. We've seen that. The strong man is destroyed. He's lost. He doesn't know where to go. And now we'll keep reading, following Peter, and you'll get to chapter 21 in the Gospel of John. He's disillusioned with Jesus. He doesn't want to know anything more about Jesus. Once he sees what he perceives as weakness or failure in Jesus, he walks away. Can't stand failure. He's a man of power, success, conquering, controlling. And now he's lost. So he goes back to what he knew before he met Jesus. He says, I'm going fishing. And seven of them go fishing. And they fish all night long. And in the morning they caught nothing. And Jesus, the risen Jesus now, is standing on the shore. And he says, cast off on the starboard side and you will get a catch. And they do, and they have a great catch. And then they look and say, it is the Lord. And they come ashore, and there's a fire there. And Jesus prepares a meal for them with the fish. And after the meal, in front of a fire, where Peter had denied Jesus three times in front of a fire, now Jesus will say, Simon, son of John. Not Cephas, no, not Peter, not the rock. The human Peter, he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now you have to read the Greek here, because in Greek there are especially four words. If you read C.S. Lewis's his book on love, you'll meet the four words. The four loves is his book. First one is agapan, which means a massive, infinite, unconditional, absolute, never fail love, agapan. The second one used is philein. Philein is a human love. It's sincere. It's generous, but it's limited. Sometimes this love defaults, but it's sincere. And the first time Jesus asks, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He uses agapan. Do you have this great, unconditional, absolutely generous love? And Peter answers, Lord, I have the human love. I have philein. And he says, tend my sheep. A second time, Jesus asks him, Simon, son of John, do you love me with agapan, with a great unconditional love? And Peter answers, Lord, I love you with a human love, broken, faltering, but sincere. Tend my sheep. A third time, Jesus asks, now Jesus changes the language. The third time, Jesus says, do you love me with philein, with a human love? Peter says, Lord, you know everything. You know well that I love you with a human, struggling, faltering love. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. He reconciles Peter. He accepts Peter in his humanity, in his brokenness, in the limitations of his love. That's enough, Jesus says. And the love of Jesus, the infinite, unconditional love of Jesus, transforms Peter. He's transfigured. From that, he will go forth. He will become a martyr for Jesus. So what does this mean to us? It means all we have to offer is a human, broken, struggling love. And Jesus says, that's enough. You will hear voices in the church that will tell you, you don't qualify. Not only do you have a problem, you are a problem. You are a marriage problem. You are a gender problem. You're a problem because you don't go to Mass often enough. You're a problem, whatever, you're a problem. And Jesus says, I know, we're human, but infinite love accepts us. And we will be transformed, not out of fear, not keeping commandments. We will be transformed when we experience the infinite love of God. So much will this transform Peter, he will become a martyr. And just outside Rome, on the Appian Way, there's a small chapel that very few people know about. It's called the Quo Vadis Chapel. And the tradition there is that Peter was in Rome and he saw the martyrdom that was facing him, and he was fearful, and he was walking away from Rome, and he met Jesus coming into Rome, and he says, Quo vadis, Domine? Where are you going, Lord? And Jesus tells Peter, I'm going into Rome to take your place in martyrdom. And Peter turns around and he goes back into Rome and he becomes a martyr. That's transforming love. That's what transfiguration means. You have this experience of God's infinite love, a love that embraces us in our weakness, in your struggles, in our failures in life, in the sins which we have, the places where we are not worthy. Of course you're not worthy. Sometimes people tell me, you know, I'm not worthy of all the things God gives me. And I say, you're right, you're not worthy. I'm not. We don't merit this. It's a gift. It embraces each and every person. Jesus loves you in your best times, loves you in your worst times. Jesus loves you when you're in grace. Jesus loves you when you're in sin. The love of God found in Jesus Christ embraces it at all times. And it's only that love which will transfigure us, make us into true disciples of Jesus Christ. Now that's a Lenten journey. So during the season of Lent, search for moments when you will hear the voice of God saying, your human love is enough. Now experience God's infinite care for you and be transformed. Amen.